Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder.
Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Check out WTAM.com, keyword save, to see what he's talking about today. Granite?
It's Cyber Tuesday, or as I call it, Extreme Retail Desperation Day after Cyber Monday. But that doesn't mean you can't save huge. Many of the top sellers from Cyber Monday are back in stock one last time with retailers really trying to make a move so you can help them clear their warehouses before Christmas. So if there were items that I would grab right now, just purely out of necessity, the winter boots that I have on our list, hugely well rated, very popular at their lowest recorded prices. If you're looking to score more than 80% on the top rated bed sheets, these are wrinkle resistant, hypoallergenic. They're amazing. You can read the reviews. I'm not the only person on earth to enjoy these. They are still under 30 bucks. Also under 30 bucks, beautiful canvas prints. This would be a great gift this holiday season, something perhaps from a Thanksgiving dinner that you had that you want to make a little bit more permanent. And if you're looking for tech from action cameras, actually a couple different brands of action cameras still available, to blenders and some really cool last minute accessory deals, all ideal stocking stuffers, all on our website. Of course, I will take you through all of your savings as we count down to Christmas, but until we meet again, happy savings. Back to you.
Thanks, partner. Get some rest today. I mean, he worked like 72 hours straight, it seemed like, through a Black Friday and Thanksgiving weekend. New from overnight, there was a press conference last night, Cleveland Police, following up on this. It's sad. Anytime shooting, it's a sad, don't get me wrong, but Black Friday, this kid was over East 114th Buckeye, out in front of his dad's store. You know that story, right? Channel 3's Will Ewing joins me this morning with a follow-up, couple of arrests. Will, what do we know here about this kid? Just wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, Bill, officials last night announced that they arrested a suspect. That suspect, a teenager, being held in a juvenile detention center. Second teen suspect also on the run this morning. They're still looking for him. The officials also said that they're looking for solutions to this violence. They agreed that this crime is a symptom of a bigger problem in the community. Mayor Frank Jackson says that his administration working to better educate young people, connect them with jobs, putting more police on the streets. And really, as you said, Bill, wrong place, wrong time. Shooting happened on Black Friday about 7:30 at night. Police say a group of teens walking near Buckeye East 116th. They were approached by another group of males who pulled out some guns, began firing, taking the life of a 12-year-old, sending five others. They were between the age of 14 and 16 to the hospital. Two of those victims have been released, but three others still remain in critical condition this morning, Bill.
Channel 3's Will Ewing on it. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Bill.
See more in the description of the kid they're looking for at WTAM.com. You get Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. That was sad. Kid was out in front of his dad's beauty supply store.
It's just, tragic. And when I heard that over the weekend, yeah, it just breaks your heart.
I know. He was like night before, you know, Thanksgiving and...
And it's really a bunch of kids, right, that were involved in the whole thing?
Just kids shooting kids. Just sad. Sad.
Just breaks your heart.
All right. We've got more, though, on who they're looking for at WTAM.com. You can see in Carmen Angelo's on it with more also coming up. All right. Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past. Did I see that right? The bench had like 55 points?
57.
57 last night. Wow.
57. Fourth time this year they've scored more than 50, Bill. And, hey, it's a pretty good bench. LeBron set the tone early. Scored the Cavs' first 9 points, had 15 in the first quarter. Cavaliers would have an 8-point halftime lead. It would be reduced to just 3 late third. But then that bench punch got it going, and the Cavaliers would pull away.
Cavs have 5 to shoot. Wade still has his dribble. Now finds Fry in the paint. Back to Korver. He launches a 3. He nails it. Korver has 3 triples, and the Cavaliers have opened up their largest lead. 94-77 Cavs, courtesy of an 8-0 run.
And the Cavaliers were on their way to a 113-91 rout of the upstart Sixers. The bench bunch with a combined 57 points. And Dwayne Wade really has been the guy choreographing things, as he puts it.
You know, every night with our second unit, it could be a different guy that steps up. Tonight, I was the one in the first half that was aggressive. But it changes, you know, multiple games. So that's what I love about our unit. That's what I love about our team, is different guys at different times.
Yeah, it's been impressive. And Wade really has been the maestro there. He had 15, Jeff Green with 14, and Channing Frye off to a great start this year. I think kind of a forgotten guy coming into the season, and he has just been outstanding. So the Cavs have now won 8 in a row. They'll seek number 9 tonight at the Q, as they will play host to the Miami Heat. 7 o'clock tip right here. Cavs now 13-7. They're only 4 behind Boston for the best record in the East. Celtics lost to Detroit last night. Also of note last night, with Durant and Curry out, the Warriors lost to the lowly Sacramento Kings. Well, he hasn't played in a game in 3 years, but it sure sounds like the Browns won't be easing Josh Gordon into game action this week in L.A.
My plans for him? Oh, boy. Let me tell you. I got big plans for him. I plan for him to play and play as much as he can handle. I think he's a very talented player, you know, and needs to play. Needs to get out there and play. But again, we got to see where he is and make sure how much can he handle, how much can he do.
Well, that's head coach Hugh Jackson. Word is Gordon has been electric in practices. The Browns play at L.A. against the Chargers. Remember, it's the Chargers now, in a 4:05 kickoff Sunday. Last night in the Monday night game, the Ravens keeping their playoff hopes alive. They beat the Texans 23-16. Baltimore now 6-5. As of today, they're in. Urban Meyer says J.T. Barrett is probable for the Big Ten Championship game Saturday night against Wisconsin. As far as the Barrett getting bumped by a photographer incident before the game against Michigan, here's what he says.
I made a comment that they should look into it, and I guess that blew up and all that. They should. Your quarterback got hit on the sideline before the game, but I trust that all the right people are looking into it. And sidelines have gotten, it's too much now. And I know I can speak on behalf of our sideline, and I'm disappointed. From this point forward, there'll be no human being near our sideline. It's not. But I trust our administration.
Well, the league is looking into it. Athletic Director Gene Smith said there won't be an all-out investigation as far as that goes. I do believe, though, they are looking for anybody named Galooly that might have been in the Big House area on Saturday. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Well, Bill, a lot going on today. As the president will meet with the Republican senators, have lunch with them, then meet with the leaders of both the House and Senate from both parties to talk about the issue that's going on right now, that being tax reform, and still a handful of senators who are wishy-washy on the Republican side on this tax reform plan. So we'll have to see what happens there. But just when you thought the president was going to concentrate on the issue of his presidency thus far, meaning tax reform and battling a schedule toward the end of the year, as usual, we had a couple of other things occur. The Navajo Code Talkers appeared at the White House yesterday for a little ceremonial salute, but the president, of course, brought up his favorite Native American, Pocahontas, who he refers to Pocahontas, of course, Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. That touched off a whole storm. And then, on top of that, you had the battling bosses at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, where two people actually showed up to take the corner office, the one appointed by the president, the other who stepped into the role according to the rules of law. So we got a few things going on, Bill.
Back to his trip on Capitol Hill. I hope I don't offend anyone. I'll use the term horse trading. There's a lot of that going on, though, when it comes to getting the votes for this thing.
Yeah, there's horse trading going on. There's arm twisting going on. And the way it stands right now, Bill, this actually has a chance of passage in the Senate, because of all the Republican senators who do have some opposition to it, and there are a good group of them now. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, about 10, according to my count. All of them do not have issues that are deal breakers. It's things that can be tweaked, and there are things that can be done to satisfy them to get a yes vote out of them. That's what the president will be doing today.
All right, Bill Zimfer on it. More throughout the day on News Radio WTAM 1100. Thanks, Bill.
Yep.
It is Giving Tuesday, as you know, and I can't think of a better organization to get involved with or give and be involved with somehow is our United Way of Greater Cleveland. Augie Napoli Jr. is the president and CEO on the hotline with me this morning. Sir, good morning. Appreciate the time, first of all.
Good morning to you, Bill.
We have had a couple of promotions with Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Today's Giving Tuesday, an important day, I think, just to realize charity, to realize giving, and United Way is a great way to do that, right?
Well, it sure is. You know, United Way started here in Cleveland 104 years ago, Bill, and it was a brilliant idea then, and it's still a brilliant idea, helping people, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people every year.
Great reminder of Cleveland's history with the United Way. Augie, when it comes to issues, things you're focusing on, I know you've looked at a lot of giving on how we get more people involved in the campaign every year or on a daily basis with United Way. Talk about that some, the focus.
Well, you know, what we're trying to do is reinvent the workplace campaign. People want to take responsibility for their own giving. They want to make their own decisions. Donor designation is a way of life, and it as it should be. We all have a free will, and we all have a philanthropic spirit, and so we should be able to exercise it how we want to. So what we're doing with companies is talking with them about finding a passion that ignites their workforce in support. And in fact, Giving Tuesday's feature for us this year is the opioid epidemic because of an initiative that started out at the Illuminating Company. John Scorey and First Energy, the Illuminating Company, that grew out there, have done a terrific job embracing the opioid epidemic.
Augie Napoli with me, the United Way. You know, you mentioned opiates, and I've already had a conversation with Congressman Jim Renacci earlier this morning about some legislation. It is amazing how that has touched, and I don't have to tell you, you probably hear it from agencies, it's touched every zip code, it seems like every family in some way, and United Way is aware of this, and you're directing funds that way, right?
And we are indeed. It's, you know, Bill, the interesting and sad thing is that there will be 800 Greater Clevelanders that are going to die this year as a result of addiction to opioids. And, you know, this just simply can't be. It can be prevented, and we really need to raise awareness in this community. That workforce at First Energy has embraced this. One of their own employees stepped forward and had this issue in their family, and ended sadly for that family. Mm-hmm. But as a result of that, the union workforce and the management workforce have embraced this as their cause this year, not only to raise their dollars for United Way for treatment of addiction, but also prevention. You know, they touch 650,000 doorknobs every year or every month at the Illuminating Company. And so hanging on doorknobs starting soon is going to be the message of if you or anyone you know is troubled by this issue, please call the United Way hotline at 211. And we can get you the help. It's awareness raising. It's prevention. Anything we can do to intervene in someone's life to stop that cycle, the better off we're going to be as a community.
Not surprising, knowing the people at First Energy you run into, how they care about the community in so many ways. That's fascinating. Interesting way for them as they touch, you're right, as they touch customers and people just to help get the word out through the Illuminating Company.
They sure do. And, you know, the other one is Medical Mutual has been really a great partner with us. And for Giving Tuesday, they are providing a match, $20,000, one-for-one match, up to $20,000 to any gift that comes in. And we, of course, donors can decide to designate their gift to anything that we do because we are comprehensive in our view of social services and the safety net, but the special feature this year is the opioid epidemic, as I said.
Augie Napoli is our present CEO of United Way Greater Cleveland. Okay, we've talked about the need. How do we get involved today? How do we donate?
Well, that's very easy. That's the easiest part of all of this. You go to GivingTuesdayCLE.org, and you will see all sorts of compelling stories and videos. And information, of course, is on our social media sites, and they will give you links to go right to where you have to go to make a donation. We're happy to host it and look forward to responding to everyone who inquires.
CLE.org, easy to get to, CLE.org.
You know, GivingTuesdayCLE.org.
GivingTuesdayCLE.org. Augie, it's a great reminder. You and I are talking today, but every day there's need. So get involved. United Way, a great way to help in coordinating United Way of Greater Cleveland. Augie Napoli, Jr., the president and CEO. Again, it's Giving Cleveland, CLE, GivingTuesdayCLE.org. GivingTuesdayCLE.org. Sir, I appreciate your time. Thanks. Have a good day.
You as well. Thank you for having me, and love your show.
And complete Cavaliers coverage, a 113-91 win last night. Joining us now, former Cavs head coach Mike Fertel, one of the winningest coaches in NBA history, analyst, of course, for the YES Network. And TNT, always at an airport somewhere. Our morning Cavs update with the coach, brought to you by Metro Lexus. How are you, pal?
Doing good. A little bit early here at LaGuardia Airport, so bear with us if the lady makes another announcement about you guys parking your cars at the curb here. She's very upset about curbs.
Well, I know they always hold the jet for Fratello, so but we won't keep you long. Let me ask you about this bench bunch, I'll call them. Over 50 points last night. Coach, I really like the way Dwayne Wade has really taken ownership of this group. As a coach, do you like seeing something like that?
Well, this is tremendous. I mean, he has gotten comfortable now after starting the first three games of the season, going to Teron Lue and saying, look, put me with the second unit. And then the fact that he's been willing to play basically the point guard spot with that second unit. So not only does he give you points now coming off the bench, but he has assists night in and night out where he's getting his teammates involved. We know he's one of the all-time great shot-blocking guards in the history of the NBA. He gets his share of rebounds, and it's his leadership. That's one of the great things about him. When you hear Eric Spoelstra, the coach of Miami, talk about this guy, he can't say enough great things about him, that whatever the role is he needs to fill, he does that. Whether it's leading scorer, whether it's coming off the bench, whether it's defending the other team's best guy, he will accept the challenge and do what's best for the team.
Mike, this is quite an interesting combination that they have, isn't it, with Wade, all the things you just talked about. And then you have Kyle Korver, Channing Frye, and then a guy like Jeff Green, and then whoever that fifth may be, whether it's LeBron, JR, whoever. It's a very intriguing crew as we look at this thing going forward, isn't it?
Wouldn't any one of those guys on the second unit that you just mentioned, Mike, start for the majority of teams in the NBA? And kind of interesting. Green has been, to me, consistent since he's gotten here, and night in and night out. You pretty much know what he's going to give you. Gave you a double-double off the bench last night, 14 points, 10 rebounds. But to watch how Korver started a little bit slow, then all of a sudden he's gone through a run. To watch Channing Frye not getting games, yet being a professional, keep himself ready, and over the last six, seven games, hasn't he been a major contributor playing the five spot for him, rebounding, defending, and making 3-point shots? What a great group of second unit guys to have. They certainly made their bench better than it was a year ago.
Mike, also defensively, they've been much better over the last 10 games. And I know over the years, when as you were coaching, you always looked at the 10-game segments. And what have you seen in this last stretch that has made them so much better defensively than they were the first 10 games?
Mike, two telltale signs right away. You know that the key is their conditioning now is so much better than it was. Doesn't 5 and 7 seem like such a long time ago when a team wins 8 straight games? That's what they were, 5 and 7 before they went on the streak. But when the conditioning comes back, two things jump out at you. One, they can play defense again, holding 76ers to 91 last night, and the three-point line comes back. We were horrendous from the three-point line to start out the season. Now, suddenly, we're back in the groove with those guys you mentioned, Korver shooting threes, Frye shooting threes, LeBron shooting threes, Kevin Love shooting threes. Last night they go 15 for 37, 41% from the floor. To me, that's been the biggest difference.
Coach, tonight it's the Cavs and the Heat. Cavs back-to-back day two. Heat rested. They were in town last night. They've got a pretty nice-looking team, and you know they've got a little extra chip on their shoulder. What are your thoughts about tonight's game?
Well, first of all, for the Cavs, it's the first time since October 28, 29 that they're playing back-to-back games, which is kind of interesting with the new schedule, the way it's worked out. And then they play a Miami team who started out injured, had a couple key guys out. Now that Winslow's come back in and Richardson's come back in, they're playing small. You got four small guys out there, Dragic and Waiters, the backcourt that can explode for points. Then you've got Richardson and Winslow, but in the middle is that big guy, Hassan Whiteside. They've got a good, deep bench that gives them points. They've now worked their way back into the playoff picture. They're number 8 in the East with a 10-9 record. And they've been sitting there for a day and a half now. They played Chicago in the afternoon on Sunday and came on in to Cleveland. So for Eric Spoelstra, as he said, quoting him, this is like deja vu, or the Twilight Zone, he called it, looking at LeBron and Wade in Cavalier uniforms. He said so many great memories with the two of them.
All right, Czar, thanks for the time. Get on the flight. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
Best team coverage of the Browns, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Fred Greetham follows the Browns at scout.com. Hanging out in Berea yesterday. Coach had his press conference. Hi, Fred.
Hey there. Good morning, Bill.
Are we pinning all our hopes on Josh Gordon now?
You know, it's got to that point, it seems like, you know, unfortunately. If you remember, in 2014, he was suspended for 10 games, and it seemed like they changed everything. They tried to get him the ball. I think they threw it to him 15 times, and it actually kind of was the undoing at the time. After they did win that first game, and they were 7-4, and then we had the Manziel, you know, drama and becoming the starter, and that team fell apart. But Yeah, I think that he will definitely help. And, you know, at this point in the season, that's really, you know, a bright spot that they can hope for. And if he were to return to his Pro Bowl form, then maybe you don't have to take, you know, use your top pick or two with a wide receiver.
Fred, we all know what an incredible talent Gordon is physically, what he can do on the field. Are you a little surprised, though, that after all he's been through and, you know, with his personal issues, that really he was talking yesterday, hey, yeah, the plan is to really go to him rather than maybe just kind of temper it and say, well, you know, this will be his first game, guys, hasn't played in 3 years. We really didn't hear much of that. It's more like, well, we're going to go to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that almost shows how desperate the Browns are right now, looking for grasping straws. You know, he's, like you said, he's a great talent, but in 13 he was, in 14 he, you know, whatever the deal was, he wasn't the same guy. And now you got 3 years down the road and you're expecting him to come in and be your top player immediately. I just think it's unfair to him. And I was really surprised because most coaches, you know, go, well, we don't even know if we're going to, you know, how he's going to fit in or if he'll even be activated. And he's been talking, last week he talked about it being an early Christmas just for him to practice. And now he's talking about having big plans for him.
We talk about Kaiser every week. Thought he played very well Sunday in Cincinnati. I think, Fred, he has shown that he can play in this league. Whether or not he's the guy, that remains to be seen. But I think he is showing that he definitely has a career in the NFL. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, when he's using his legs a little bit more and getting out of the pocket and getting the first downs when necessary, And he did have some accurate throws. He threw a perfect pass to Corey Coleman, who dropped it in the end zone. And so I like what I've seen, and we want to continue, hopefully, to see that. Hopefully he'll be able to stand upright the final five games and finish the season out.
You look at this team defensively, they've been talking about and had stats to show they'd improved their work against the run. And then Cincinnati really shredded them. That's been disturbing, that it seems like whatever it takes, Fred, we go from 1 week to the next, is whatever it takes to lose, they'll find a way. But that was a real disappointment on Sunday, that they just could not stop Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely. First five drives, Cincinnati scored. You know, they did hold them to field goals on three of them. But as far as the defense, you know, they are missing Collins, Ogba, and a couple guys. But, yeah, that was supposed to be their trademark. And when you let Andy Dalton and the Bengals put up 30 points on you with this Browns offense, you're not going to win too many games. So, you know, that was disappointing to say the least.
Fred, what is your take on the field meeting with Hugh Jackson, Jimmy Haslam, and A.J. McCarron, considering all that nearly happened with the trade that fell through? Your takeaway from that, what you heard, and what do you think really that was all about?
Well, I just think, you know, a lot of these guys fraternize and, you know, are friendly, but I do think that it was a little strange. I think that they're setting things up. You know, if Hugh's here, I think that they will try to get him as a free agent, you know, in the off season, whether it's restricted or unrestricted, you know, whether that's the answer or not. I could see him being a backup quarterback, but you know, if they're looking at him as the answer, I don't know.
And there's still a hearing, if you will, on what AJ's status would be.
Correct.
In the offseason.
Yeah, that's still up in the air. Right.
Fred Greatham, best team coverage of the Browns, WTAM 1100. Follow him on Twitter at Fred Greatham. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys.
Complete Cavaliers coverage. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Your morning update is brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Jim Jones joins us this morning, Cavs legend, member of the 1980 world champion L.A. Lakers. Of course, you hear him on the Cavs Network with John Michael in Philly last night, calling a 113-91 win Miami tonight. Morning, Jim.
Morning, guys.
I said to Mike Snyder earlier, and when Fratello was with us, Dwayne Wade, the bench bunch, what, over 50 points last night, and I love the way I'm hearing Wade talk about his role now, Jim. And I mean, he's the veteran. He knows where he should be on this club, it sounds like.
Yeah, he does, Bill. The thing about Wade is he's always played to win the game. I can't remember one instance, even at Marquette, where he played for himself or for the stats. He carried that first Miami championship team by himself all through the playoffs It was like a one-man show. It was so Michael Jordan-like that at that time, people were comparing him to Jordan. You have to remember, there was about a 7 or 8 year span in there in his career where he was rated either the best point, best two guard, or the second best two guard. So he's an outstanding talent. He's all about winning. He has a winning mentality. He has leadership ability, and he's transferred all of that to Frye and Korver, and he's made us a better team. And with him, it's all about winning.
And that's what they've been doing of late, Jim, and a big reason why is this bench group. And it just looks like everyone's kind of found their role. Frye has been terrific. Kyle Korver, we know how he can shoot. Jeff Green, you talk about him every night. Jim, you know what you're getting when you put Jeff Green in the game, don't you?
You do, because when he's on the floor with LeBron, you have two of probably, with Westbrook, the three best athletes in the game. And you're playing these guys with second-tier players. You know, a younger Wade would definitely be a starter on 99% of the teams in our league. Jeff Green, for whatever reason, didn't play well at Orlando. But see, you don't need much when you have a guy that has leadership ability. They give you confidence, and that's why the difference. Let me give you a stat. When James, Frye, and Wade and Korver are on the floor together, based on 100 possessions, we average 137 points. Their effective field goal rate when those guys are playing is 63% from the field. So the impact of that particular combination, no one in the league is doing that right now. Lou and his staff have found a combination that no one has an answer for.
And LeBron has just been incredible. And he set the tone last night, didn't he, Jim, when they went into Philly? This is a young upstart Sixers team, lots of young talent. Embiid is impressive. Simmons, I know he struggled a little bit last night and then went out with an ankle injury. But LeBron just made sure at the beginning of the game the Cavs were going to be locked in. That's great to see.
It is, Mike. You're all over it. And that's what he has to do. If you're our best player, you have to be our best player, not in the fourth quarter, but all through the game. And that's what he did. And that's what you're supposed to do if you're the best player on the team. And he is our best player. It's a tremendous responsibility, but he has the talent to do it. And he's showing that now.
Jim Jones on your Cavs against Miami tonight. And you know what? Going back-to-back, Jim, I think tonight will be interesting to see how they respond.
Yeah, I think they'll play well.
Right.
I think, you know, LeBron only played 31 minutes last night, and his toughest quarter was the first quarter. I think they'll be fine. And right. Then the depth, and this is what a bench does, right? A bench is supposed to play well when everybody's fatigued. So we'll see.
I tell you what, I feel better as a fan this morning than I did a month ago. But
you've been
telling me don't worry the whole time. So, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
Well.
You're all over it, as always. Thank you, Jim. See you,
buddy. Thank you.
We're on tech and net neutrality. I Agent Derek Meister of the Geek Squad joins me on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Big story, FCC, Congress, politics, blah, blah, blah. But I'm trying to understand what this would actually mean. So I went to the Geek, as we normally would when it comes to a tech issue. You go to the Geek at the Geek Squad and... That's why Agent Derek Meister joins us every week. Morning, Derek.
Morning, Bill.
All right, try and explain this to me, what it means and the net neutrality, the term. Take me through this. What are they talking about?
Sure, absolutely. You know, when we're talking about that, it sounds very technical, but we're really just talking about the open internet. So this principle that internet service providers, the company that you pay to give you access to the internet, should give you as a consumer access to all the legal content and applications on an equal basis and not favor certain sources or block others. It essentially prohibits those internet service providers from charging content providers for speedier delivery of their content, creating what they call fast lanes. Everybody loves an analogy when it comes to the internet. So let's just imagine that you paid a company for access to all of the roads to your house. You'd want to be able to drive to work or have people be able to visit you or deliver things to you without issue. Now imagine if that road company decided that the speed limit for all pizza delivery companies would be 20 miles per hour. But if a company paid them extra to get to your house, they could drive at 40 miles per hour, even though you're paying for that road that pizza delivery company gets to you. That gives that company an unfair advantage if they have money, even though you're already paying for those roads, and makes it harder for, say, a brand new one-person mom-and-pop pizza company that doesn't have a lot of money, gives them a disadvantage. Even worse, now we're starting to see a lot of internet service providers be content companies. In other words, companies that partnering with companies that create content.
Right.
So, you know, and they're going to start favoring their own content is the worry. So imagine if that rogue company opened their own pizza company, set the speed limit for all of the competitor pizza companies at 10 miles per hour, but allowed their own to drive to your house at 50. You're going to, you know, it's going to give them an unfair advantage because they're going to be able to deliver pizza faster to you. And this is something that we've actually seen happen within the last 10 years with certain providers. For example, a lot of the phone carriers were blocking Skype and other voice over IP services, things like FaceTime. So it's absolutely something we want to make sure that since you're paying for the internet, we want to make sure that it's open, accessible. It makes it so that you as a consumer get access to everything. It helps companies get a fair access, especially brand new companies. I mean, you know, in the last 20 years, we've seen just how innovative small companies can quickly become, you know, forces on the internet because they have that access to that internet. So at the end of the day, it's really just about making sure that everybody has full and open access to the same internet without any unfair advantages.
Your analogy made me hungry for pizza, but that, but that's a good one. And you know what? You're right with content because you think of the net. I mean, right away, Netflix. I mean, you took a look at a business model.
Sure.
10, 15 years ago, they were the ones that would ship you a DVD to your house and you'd mail it back. And then the internet allowed them to basically just have a channel like everybody else. And they rely on that space to get that channel to me, right?
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of these companies are really vocal about how they want net neutrality. You know, even large companies, Google, Netflix, Amazon, other companies. You also see it in terms of retailers. So, you know, a lot of online retail is really becoming important even to brick and mortar stores. And they want to be able to have equal access. They don't want some company out there, some big company to say, you know, pay extra money. And when it comes to Black Friday or Cyber Monday, they don't want an unfair advantage. It helps really both. You're seeing both the giant companies as well as the small mom and pops out there, both coming out and saying that they really want that net neutrality option.
Up next, FCC will vote on the plan that's been presented to them at their board meeting December 14th. Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, follow him on Twitter, Agent 3012, his breakdown of this net neutrality debate. All right, good info. Thanks, pal.
Thank you.